Little Hand says it's time to rock and roll.
Bring the noise.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Welcome to Earth.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
Bomb. James Bond.
Pop quiz, hot shot.
Your move, creep.
Get off my plane.
Get your ass off.
I feel mean.
We cut the Kit Kat a-hole.
Hey, motherfucker.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Everything Action Cast for the week of June 25th, 2012. I'm your host, Zach. Joining us this week, we have Chris.
Hello.
Joe.
Skibbity-bop.
And Brian.
Yay, I love
it. Yay, the whole crew.
Ow.
And you know, let's get right into it, guys, because there's so much to talk about.
Do it.
So, basically, last week and this week, we've gotten, just for some reason, a flood of trailers came out. So, I don't know, let's start, I guess we go from biggest to smallest. And we got to kick it off with the trailer for Taken 2.
Mm.
Liam Neeson is back to kill an entire country. Yes.
And he's back with his ex-wife or something? It does not really explain how they're still, like,
because he was so
talking.
Because he was so badass in the first movie. It's like, how could you not be with him again?
Chris, because nothing heals a marriage like saving your daughter from the sex trade.
Yeah.
So.
And killing a shit ton of Arabs. Yeah. Like, that really just goes right to a girl's heart.
Entire hillside of Albanians, apparently. Because the opening shot is just like this, like, entire mountain just, like, full of dead bodies.
Yeah, he basically killed, like, the entire male population of a village.
Yes.
How will we survive? Our
you, you jabbed what into his legs, honey? Oh, I love you.
Oh, yeah. That gets me really hot.
I'm going to say, because that's the drastic overhaul from the first movie to the second movie, trailer-wise. Just, like, his ex-wife's kind of like, isn't Dad wonderful?
Yeah.
He's great, isn't he? I'm just like, what?
Yeah.
Probably because he came back and, like, heat-fucked her or something. And then, like, sent a video to Stuart. Stuart, remember what I said about dick measuring?
Buy a pony for my daughter, will you?
What happened to her scene career that was supposed to take off?
She probably realized that she sucks.
Mm-hmm.
Or that those vocal lessons were, like, after the first free one, were probably, like, $8,000 an hour.
Well, Liam Neeson.
Yeah, because Liam Neeson only protected that singer one time, and that was it.
Yeah, she's like, okay, well, now we're even Stevens. You saved my life. I gave your daughter a half-assed vocal lesson.
You're only there 20 minutes.
You know, the one thing that was missing from this trailer was, like, they didn't try to attempt to, like, outdo the particular set of skills speech.
I know.
But we talked about how it's getting formalic about the approach of the movie, where, well, he's on the phone, he's telling his daughter, hey, guess he's going to get taken again.
They're going to take you again. Whoa.
Huh?
And this time, he's finding out that being taken, I don't know, something witty, Rob Schneider-esque.
He should be talking. He should be talking to somebody, and he goes, what about your wife? And Liam Neeson goes, she's been taken, too. And then he looks at the camera, gives a wink. Yeah, that's what it should have been.
Fuck yeah, man. I'd see the shit out of that.
Have you guys seen, just kind of like an A-side, a little bit of a tangent. Have you guys seen Liam Neeson on Life's Too Short?
Yeah.
That's really funny. So he can do comedy. So, anyway. Just a little tangent.
Hello.
Holy.
Like, I'm a grocer. Like, you're in a grocery store. I'm going to come in and be a customer. I have AIDS.
So good.
So, yeah, so Taken 2 is out this September, apparently. This is like the international trailer, so I guess it's coming out.
That happened really fast, by the way.
Between,
like, because within, like, a few months ago, it was like, oh, yeah, Taken 2 is filming.
Yeah.
And now it's like, yeah, so it's coming out in September. It's like, whoa, what the fuck? Did they film it in, like, a weekend? Like,
hey, Liam Neeson's got like 20 other movies to film, I guess, so.
Yeah, man, he's a hot commodity.
I'm just gonna shoot a bunch of guys, and then I gotta go do Battleship.
Oh, man. Pretty much.
He should
hoping
have
for an E-Team 2, by the way. Still yeah, hoping.
Never, it's never gonna happen.
Still hoping. I can hope.
So, yeah, so Taken 2, and then the other big trailer that came out last week was the trailer for Dredd, the new Judge Dredd reboot.
Woo!
With Chris's favorite person, Carl Urbane.
My god, he's such a versatile actor.
And a lot of people were pointing out that the plot of Dredd is basically the same exact plot as the critically acclaimed action film from earlier this year, The Raid Redemption.
You know, well, I'll say, like, it takes, what, like 30 Filipino people to equal one Dredd?
I guess,
okay,
yeah,
true.
Because basically the plot is that there's this evil drug dealer who has taken over this entire apartment complex, and Dredd has to go in and go floor by floor and just murder everyone and arrest or kill the drug dealer.
Yeah, it never ends with like thanks for being arrested. You know, like it's he's gonna kill people. There's no way he's gonna drag like arrestees down those stairs.
The judgment is dead.
I do like because it seems true to the comics, but it just seems like this is a really hard story to tell to get people like situated with the Dredd universe again.
Exactly. That's the vibe I got from it too. Like, if this is a true reboot, like I wouldn't have minded seeing some like background. Like, I'm sure there will be some in the movie, but I just hope it's not like a montage. You know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't mind it telling the story of Judge Dredd, like coming to get his reputation. You know what I mean? Because
mm-hmm.
like it seems like from this trailer at least that they already know that he's like pretty badass and whatnot. And they're like, oh, we're sending in Dredd because he's going to fuck shit up. You know, I kind of would have preferred it to be like, oh, who in this class will rise to the top? Like, who will be the new, like, I guess, vision of justice for Mega City and then have Dredd rise to power? But shit, I mean, it still looks pretty pretty badass. Light years ahead of the Stallone.
Yes.
Dredd in terms of, like, you know, overall grit and, like...
No Rob Schneider,
which is also huge. But, yeah, I'm excited. Just the fact that he's getting another chance, even if it sucks, like... It's like The Punisher. Like, no matter... I'm just happy that they, like, you know, give it another shot. I'm not so much invested about it being like, oh, my God, this was the best comic adaptation ever. Like, it's just another... Yeah, I don't know, it's another shot, you know?
Another awesome thing they've been pretty much adamant about is that he's never going to take his helmet off, or at least barely take his helmet off. It's like, as soon as he puts it on at the beginning, he's not going to take it off, which is...
As it should be.
True to character. Like, what? This Stallone wore it for, like, what, a minute in the movie?
Yeah. He wore it in the opening, and then he took it off immediately right after that scene.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he started yelling about how he's the law. I am the law!
Well, he is the law, in all fairness. So.
That's true.
Yeah.
And Rob Schneider.
Mm.
Actually, speaking of the Stallone Judge Dredd, apparently that's going to be the next week's episode of How Does This Get Made.
Nice.
So talk about Judge Dredd. Did you see the Judge Dredd trailer, or the Dredd trailer, Brian?
No, I'm still scarred by the Stallone interpretation. That's going to take me a while to get back on the Dredd train. But give me a couple days or maybe 2 weeks and we'll see. I just haven't really got around to it yet. I just keep seeing it and I get Stallone flashbacks and I have to go take a cold shower and I'm like,
oh.
Rob, I'm like Rob Schneider. I'm Rob Schneider. No yelling at him. And so. It takes a little while.
So
there should be support groups for that movie.
Yeah.
Yes.
So other trailers. I think they took it down before anyone else could see it, but the Nickelodeon Ninja Turtles reboot reimagining head trailer, like, it looks pretty bad. I don't know. The animation style is really weird, and they're constantly yelling "Booyakasha" for no reason, and I don't know.
It's clearly geared towards kids, and they're not even. I don't think they're even going to really try to gear towards adults.
Yeah.
To be honest, I mean, you have like, you know, Cartoon Network's doing shows like Adventure Time and regular show. It's kind of like has the broad appeal, but something they could do with the Turtles, but it doesn't look like they're doing that with this. Looks like they're aiming for the cartoony side.
The easy money, man. Mm-hmm. The easy money.
Yep.
I mean, they easily do like a Thundercats or like Avatar, like overarching story, make it sort of serious.
Exactly, yeah. That's my point.
Although, you know what, like, just to play devil's advocate here, like, I will say that I would much rather have, like, the movie be more geared towards, like, you know, the original Turtles fans than have, like, a new series that doesn't last very long anyway. You know what I mean? Like, I'm glad that the movie has been, like, scrapped or, like, put on hold for the time being to be, like, reworked and rewritten and all that stuff. I'd rather have it be that way than be like, well, we got this kick-ass TV show, but the movie kind of sucked, which killed all interest in the TV show, et cetera.
Yeah.
Et cetera. So, I don't know. Either way, like, you know, I'm just happy that the Turtles still have a presence no matter what, you know? Because at least I'm hoping that, you know, some younger parents and stuff like that might be like, oh, I used to love that show when I was little, and then have kids be like, what are you talking about? And then show them the original Turtles, like, where it's really at.
Oh, yeah. Actually, if anyone wants some, like, really awesome turtle act, like, awesome turtle action, you should definitely check out the IDW comic series that they've been putting out for about a year now. It's basically, like, back to, like, the sort of, like, original comics, but, like, blended with, like, some of the other, like, the movie and, like, the kind of, like, a little bit of the 2003 reboot show.
Cool.
And I think, I can't remember if Kevin Eastman is, like, one of the, it's like Peter Laird and Kevin Eastman. Kevin Eastman is one of the guys writing the new comic. And then I think Laird is the one who's, like, working on the movie and, like, is obsessed with, like, sending the Turtles to space and making them aliens and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Eastman's more of like they should be in New York City as like ninjas in New York City. It's like Daredevil.
Well, okay, it seemed like one writer was like very grounded in reality. The other guy was like, it would be awesome if like third dimensional beings came to Earth and like fucked around with what you started.
Hey, how about this? Alien Triceratops.
Fuck yeah, that makes no sense. I put it in.
How'd they get to that other planet? Teleporter. I don't know. So, yeah, so I think that Ninja Turtles cartoon on Nickelodeon is coming out in the fall sometime. Maybe I'll probably check out the first episode just to see, like, if it's completely horrible or if there's actually something decent about it. And other trailers. The trailer for Alex Cross came out. I think it was exclusively on Amazon, of all places, first, and then it sort of like came out to other places, but
it has begun.
based on the James Patterson novel Cross, and actually the character Alex Cross has already been in movies, a couple of movies before. Played Morgan Freeman in I think it was Kiss the Girls and Along Came a Spider.
Yep.
So now we have Tyler Perry playing Alex, like Washington D.C. detective.
How would humanity explain this to the future generations? We have Morgan Freeman as this like wise detective, and then it's like, oh, let's reboot it by making everything he stood for opposite. And it's like
it's even worse when you like when you learn that like Idris Elba was going to be originally out the new Alex Cross.
That would have been like looser the movie
and would have been fucking amazing.
Yeah, and like, he wouldn't be so angry, and he would actually get his work done in one episode. Because Luther gets angry too much, and that's why it drags on for two episodes to solve one crime.
Yeah. He's, like punching windows out or, like, breaking phones.
Arguing with his ex-wife.
Yeah.
At least for the first season. Mm-hmm.
Getting insulting with his weird serial killer friend.
Yeah. His ginger friend.
Yeah.
Ginger.
Yeah, so Tyler Perry is Detective Alex Cross in Washington, D.C., and they have to try to stop this crazy MMA/ex-military serial killer played by Matthew Fox, who's just, like, running around blowing shit up for no reason.
poor man Cyrus the Virus, if it, is what it looks like to me.
Kind of. It seems like they're like trying to make like a Hannibal sort of like a not like you know like one of the other serial killers from Hannibal. This guy Hannibal.
It's like if Edward Norton's character from American History X was like really evil.
Yes.
No, it's kind of like what that character had like unlimited supply of military gear for some strange reason.
Yeah, like where is he getting all this stuff? He has like scuba gear, rocket launchers,
belt ejected
utility belts. Yeah, belt ejected explosives. Like
I don't know why they even threw in the quirk that he's an MMA fighter. Like, what does that guy do with anything?
It's so hot right now.
I like punch people in the face.
I just didn't understand, like, oh, it's just a trait. I get it. It's just because he likes violence, but, like,
yeah.
I can establish that without having, like, him go into a goddamn weird, like, cage fight. Like, it seemed very...
Does he also have, like, no facial hair? Or, like, no hair on his head? Like, I don't think he has eyebrows, what? Or...
Yeah, I didn't stare at his Matthew Fox's face, but...
I did.
And then,
see, there's gonna be a scene in the movie. It's like, Alex, what's your plan to infiltrate his base? Well, I'm gonna dress up as this really old black grandma. And her name's Medea. She's gonna be like, you better let me in there. And you know they're gonna have to let him in there.
Lordy, lordy, lordy.
Lordy, lordy, lordy.
Deal.
And it'll be Tyler Perry's Alex Cross.
Yeah. It's actually
by Tyler Perry.
It's actually Rob Cohen's Alex Cross.
Oh, that's great because, you know, he's a
director of such classic films as Triple X, Stealth, The Fast and Furious.
The Mummy 3.
Yes, The Mummy 3. I wait for that one.
The prestigious Mummy 3.
Mm-hmm. With, like, football playing Yetis.
I just want to know who I mean, like, there was probably, like, you know, an interview process to figure out who would play Alex Cross. And I don't know how Tyler Perry fucking passed it, you know? It just seems so comical that he got this far. Like, it was a bad joke that no one could figure out how to end. And they're just like, holy shit, we actually hired Tyler Perry to be in this movie.
Maybe he's, like, a huge fan of the books, and he's, like, walking in with, like, a giant bag of money. It's just like, I'm Alex Cross now.
Yeah, that's definitely something. That's a situation I can see happening.
He's like, all right, I'll do it, but there's got to be one scene where I turn to the camera and say, House of Pain, Wednesdays on TBS.
What?
Oh, that looks
like TGTIF. I don't know what the hell that dude's super. Thank God Taylor's got it on Fridays.
Oh, Tyler Perry, no. That's what the movie should be called. Tyler Perry, comma, no, exclamation point.
Tyler Perry, man of action.
Yeah, that's another thing. Tyler Perry's not an action hero, but he does, like, there's enough action scenes in the trailer, and I'm like, this is Tyler Perry?
Yeah, isn't he, like...
besides, like, him, like, loading a shotgun.
Yeah, is he, like, making a sawed-off shotgun with, like, a crazy, like, combat vest on? Go hunting.
Matthew Fox.
Yeah.
It's like, somebody should make a YouTube, like, mashup where they list the super cut scenes from Medea and this movie.
Yeah.
And that would be a lot more believable.
Toads.
Maybe people saw like his amazing performance in Star Trek and they're like, oh man, he should be an action hero.
He didn't even stand up in Star Trek.
No, he had like one line. The one movie that he was in that he didn't direct.
Until now.
Yeah. Anyway, so that movie's out in October, so look forward to that one. And last one, did you guys see the Soldiers of Fortune trailer?
Yeah, I was really confused by it.
It's like the weird, like, movie, like, if you're super rich, you can apparently just do whatever the hell you want. Because, like, the whole premise of this movie is that these super rich guys pay to be, like, go to, like, an active war zone and, like, actually, like, kill people and shoot them as, like, mercenaries.
It seems like a funny idea, but
the movie comes off as like
it's like Tropic Thunder mixed with Target.
But it's more like terrible action than funny action, you know?
Yeah. But like Cass is crazy because like Ving Rhames, James Cromwell, Dominic Monaghan, Sean Bean, and Christian Slater.
Oh boy.
And Christian Slater is like this like ex special forces or like this I guess current special forces guy who has to like protect all these like stupid billionaires. Not let them get killed.
No, he's like trained them too how to fight before they go onto this war zone to like help.
Yeah, apparently there's like a dictator or something on this island. They're going to like some island.
I think the plot of it is that they're supposed to be part of the dictator because he's taking over the island, and then they turn around and like, okay, we're helping the people.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm surprised this movie's coming to theaters. It seemed like it's coming to DVD.
I'm sure it's going to be like all like in like two theaters, and they'll be like DVD next week. Like that Nicolas Cage movie that came out last year, Trespass.
Yes.
It was like a week in theaters, and it's like, and now it's on DVD.
What a week it was.
I think it's out next month, Soldier of Fortune. So look for that at your local Redbox sometime soon. So moving on from trailers, there's a bunch of other news coming out. It's been like rumors about it for years and years, but Jurassic Park 4 moving another step closer to being a reality. They actually just hired the writers of Rise of the Planet of the Apes to write a new script for Jurassic Park 4.
Good.
Awesome. I mean, I don't think there should be another Jurassic Park movie made. I mean, that kind of goes without saying.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's been enough time that they can, like... Well, they can't reboot that, but... I mean, is it out of the public's mind so long that if they were to do a fourth movie, it wouldn't be, like, rehashing or rebooting, which they can't do? I mean, I don't know. I mean,
anything's better than the third one, but...
Yeah, I know. But the thing is, I guess anything's possible. But if they're going to give it to somebody, they're giving it to the right people, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I bet they could probably do some pretty awesome things with, like, the raptors. Because, like, one of the best parts of Rise of the Planet of the Apes is just, like, the apes, like, communicating without talking.
Yeah, and one of the good things about Rise of the Planet of the Apes is that it was deeper, obviously, because it was a Planet of the Apes movie, but it could have devolved into senseless action, which it kind of did towards the end. But the thing is, it had some substance to it, which is what Jurassic Park 3 didn't have. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's something to possibly look forward to.
What are you talking about? Jurassic Park 3 had a like skeleton theme dinosaurs that you know nature definitely created as a thing and
Spinosaurus.
Spinosaurus, and then that's all I remember.
They finally brought pterodactyls in to do something.
Yeah, and he had that weird like Batman reveal scene on the rope bridge.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, "I am the knight. I'm the pterodactyl."
Caw-caw, caw-caw. And I'm excited that those guys are writing it. Have you guys heard of, like, any of the crazy, like, Jurassic Park 4 scripts that were, like, floating around? There's, like, the one where the government was going to turn dinosaurs into weapons, and, like, there's going to be, like, raptors firing guns and stuff.
Jesus Christ, really?
They're going to, like, genetically engineer raptors to be even more intelligent so they could, like, use weapons.
That one had to be done by Michael Bay. I don't care what anybody says. He was using an alias. I don't care. That had to be Michael Bay.
Michael May.
Nobody will know.
No relation.
It's like a giant.
It's perfect.
It's like a giant dino tank, and it's like driving down the middle of Los Angeles, and then T-Rex with like a laser gun on its head starts firing at the tank.
Oh, rest,
I don't know about you guys, but this sounds pretty awesome. It's like it's every like Michael Bay stereotype coming alive on one movie would just be funny as hell.
They should just make. There's like that 80s toy line. I think they had like one like a short lived cartoon. It was like Dino Riders.
Mm-hmm.
They had like dinosaurs with like lasers. It's like and missiles attached to them.
They sure did.
Just like that. Or just do like a Dinobots Transformers movie.
I was just gonna say something like that. I was trying to put the two together. Oh god.
Me Grimlock.
Oh god.
So, moving on to other news. So after a year of not hearing anything, Black Dynamite, the cartoon, is finally coming out on July 15th.
Dynamite!
Hurrah!
Dynamite! Yeah, I know.
Didn't wait.
Didn't they come out with like 15 minutes or like 10 minutes or like a trailer and then just like dead silence like, hey, this is coming soon.
They put the entire episode up on AdultSwim.com like a year ago.
It's so weird.
They didn't mention anything about it. Then like last week they're like, oh yeah, here's a new trailer. It's coming out July 15th.
It's like this, and the Boondocks. It just kind of like goes away for a while, then all of a sudden it's like, hey, it's coming back. And then like a year, hey, it's definitely coming back.
Yeah.
But I'm excited because the first episode looked awesome, and I can't wait.
The first episode was so fucking insane.
It's so crazy.
They're fighting like evil pimp Kermit. Fighting like this evil Sesame Street that's like brainwashing kids to like deal drugs.
I can't fucking wait.
So they're like burgering evil puppet, like Muppets. And it's like the entire voice cast from the movie is doing the voices for the cartoon, which is awesome. Like the animation style is crazy. It's very like Boondocks. Yeah. But I think it's actually, I don't know if it's the same animation credit as Boondocks, but I know they did like, I think they did like Metalocalypse. It's like the same.
Oh, video. Sweet.
Yeah, I read that on Friday, and like Friday at work, everyone was just like quoting Black Dynamite the entire rest of the day.
Ha! I threw that shit in before I came in the room.
Fiendish Dr. Wu.
I used to be an orphan.
He looked at me with his little Chinese eyes, and he says like, I could tell he was asking a question. It was a question directed at me. Why Black Dynamite? Why?
It was like the one where the neighborhood girls are playing on the street, and they're like, my daddy's called Black Dynamite, and he's a hunch of mouth little girl.
A lot of cats have that name.
My favorite scene, though, is still like when they're trying to figure out the entire plot in the diner. Ares is the Greek god of war. Now, what is the astrological symbol for Ares? Ram. Now, what is Ram spelled backwards with an S?
Mars.
Who makes good candy that melts in your mouth?
Dude,
it was M&M's, and then it goes on, yeah.
And then, what is the slogan for Anaconda Malt Liquor? It gives you woo! And what else? Who is famous for saying woo? Little Richard.
Little Richard. Anaconda Malt Liquor gives you a little dick.
Ah!
I didn't really put that connection together until, like, because, you know, the beginning of the movie, they show you the Anaconda, like, commercial.
Yeah.
Like,
okay. You're damn right they do. That sets the tone for everything that's to come.
Cream corn!
Dude. That movie was just, like, so perfectly done. Like, to spoof an exploitation movie, like, they just nailed everything, man. From, like, the gritty film, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, the film effects they did to, like, just, oh god, the way like people would be like looking at the wrong thing or like
boom mics in the shot and
boom mics, like hand in your license to kill, all sorts of shit like that. Oh,
you gotta, I took me 2 days to watch Superfly, but after watching that and then you go watch Black Dynamite, you can see how like they parallel the film style based on like shoddy camera ship and like just terrible storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
It's like the grindhouse of exploitation films.
Yes.
Yes.
So definitely.
And they're doing a sequel. So how great is that? Boom.
Yeah. As much Black Dynamite as they could possibly want to do. Just keep bringing it on.
Yeah, you basically have my money. Mm-hmm. Like that's all I got to say about that.
Oh man, hopefully there's an episode where like Fiendish Dr. Wu makes a comeback or something.
We could be so lucky.
Your knowledge of scientific transmogrification is only matched by your zest for kung fu treachery. So yeah, so definitely set your calendars July 15th on Adult Swim, Black Dynamite.
Setting that right now.
What else can you say? The man is black. So, speaking of sequels and all that stuff, Monsters, the low-budget indie sci-fi alien invasion movie that came out I think it was two years ago, maybe?
Yep.
And Joe, you watched it, right?
I sure did.
Anyone else watch
it? Not bad.
It was like these two people, like
crickets.
They'd like travel through Mexico, but like Mexico was like a satellite crashed in the middle, like in between United States and Mexico. So there's like this like crazy infected zone that no one goes into anymore because like alien creatures are growing into it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So anyway, so apparently there's a sequel coming out, or being developed right now called Monsters: Dark Continent, and it's gonna be directed by. One of the directors from the cult BBC superhero show Misfits. And apparently it's going to be about how the infection from Mexico starts spreading across the world and like there's more alien creatures growing in like other parts of the world. So there's like it's sort of like this like it turns into like this big like battle against the aliens to like keep control of the planet. And the story actually sounds like Heart of Darkness or like Apocalypse Now or like this one. There's like a rogue army general or like colonel who is like somewhere in the infected zone. This like squad of soldiers to go and like kill him or find out what he's doing.
Colonel Chi. No.
Damn. So the first movie was actually surprisingly good for like I think it had like $1,000 budget or like some sort of crazy low number for the budget.
Yeah. It was wild.
The guy did these special effects on his laptop, I think.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? It wasn't gonna win like any like special effects awards or anything like that, but it was passable, I'd say.
Yeah.
You know, and overall, I think being a good movie is more important, in my opinion, at least. Maybe this is a little radical, but you know, in my opinion, it's better to be a solid movie than to be some like. Special effects like opus, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And there's ton of great like world building in that movie too. Like people were like using like abandoned military hardware for like wagons and there's like signs like tons of like awesome signs everywhere for like stay out of the infected zone or like make sure you wear your gas mask if you go in the infected zone or if you hear a buzzer, put on your gas mask.
Yeah.
So I guess they'll develop a sequel right now, so that should be coming out sometime in the near future. And I'll probably check it out, because the first one was pretty awesome. So,
indeed.
Moving on, apparently there's a new Sesame Street movie in development.
Mm.
Probably thanks to the triumph of Return of the Muppets last year.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm pretty sure that had something to do with it.
Unquestionably.
So, the third Sesame Street movie... Of course, there was Follow That Bird and then Elmo and Grouchland with the two other ones. Buddha, Elmo and Grouchland, but Follow That Bird is amazing.
Yes.
And they haven't really said like anything about just saying, we're making a Sesame Street movie. So, like, no plot details or anything. Like, or who
what
would
else
be in
do
it,
you
or...
have to say?
I just hope it's not dominated by Elmo.
Yeah. Fuck Elmo. I don't know how he got to rise to the top.
Could we bring Super Grover back into this bitch, please? And it's not just because I got my Death of Super Grover shirt. It's because I love Super Grover. Bring him back.
This should be the entire movie.
Seriously, let's make Super Grover Begins.
Actually, I think kind of like they were like parodying Spider-Man Trap the Dark and like Grover played Spider-Man.
Yes, I that was hilarious. Actually.
And they had like Muppet Bono.
Yeah, that was really fucking funny.
Like,
I have to say, like, Sesame Street, I'm going to sound like a total retard for saying this, but lately, like, it's kind of funny, man. Like, I've been watching some, like, not, like, religiously, but I've seen a few, I guess, clips here and there from, like, current or more recent seasons, like, where they parody Mad Men and stuff like that.
That's insane.
Really funny, man. It's really good.
Well, but Don Draper calls someone a syncophant.
Yeah.
And it's like they don't even like they don't even call it anything. It's just like it's Mad Men. They don't even call it like it's like not like not even like a parody title. It's like yep, it's Mad Men.
Yep.
Up at Don Draper.
Teach the words mad and sad and glad, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Glad men, sad men.
But talking about like need to like work on this account and they like get the ad campaign right and
pretty much.
And the Spider Man one was amazing. And there's also like I don't know if it was on Sesame Street or if it was just like a commercial, but like they had like the smell like a monster Grover like doing the X commercial or the Old Spice commercial.
Yeah. That was cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they should definitely bring back like some of the older Sesame Street characters. Like Grover and
give me the count, bitch.
Yes. And definitely like get away from like the weird like super super hyper like Elmo and what is it, Zoe or someone or
oh god.
Is Zoe the one with AIDS?
No, that's like
it's like an Africa only Muppet.
Oh, okay.
That's so terrible. Like, I'm sorry, but, like, if Big Bird, 3 and 4 year olds don't need to know about AIDS, okay?
Big Bird told me I'd have AIDS.
Fucking bleeding heart yuppies. Let's get an AIDS puppet on Sesame Street. Fuck you.
Well, I can't, honestly, guys, I'm looking forward to the next Sesame Street movie, Sesame Street, Everybody Gets AIDS. So, yeah. I can't wait for that.
Sesame Street.
A Spike Lee joint. Pretty much.
Yep. So I can't remember if they said any, like who was possibly writing it. I think it might have been like the guys behind the Muppet movie, but I don't know. I'm gonna look it up quick. But
look it up.
Other news is that well, the last bit of news we're gonna talk about, unless there's anything else you guys can think of. But apparently. So we have the two dueling White House getting taken over by terrorist movies coming out next year. White House Down and Olympus Has Fallen. So apparently Olympus Has Fallen has cast their president, and it's Aaron Eckhart.
Well, he's bland enough.
Yeah,
President Dent.
Yeah. Oh, man, that would be amazing if it was just, like, named, like, it was not Harvey Dent, but just, like, some other, like, John Dent or something.
Billy Dent.
And that...
I wouldn't...
So Olympus Has Fallen, that's directed by Antoine Fuqua of Training Day, and starring Gerard Butler as the Secret Service agent who has, like, John McClane his way through the White House.
This isn't a fucking romantic comedy, is it? Does Jennifer Aniston show up? Because if so, I'm going to kick her in the fucking twat. Want nothing to do with a rom-com... Let's same just with have an action movie.
Same with Katherine Heigl. Even if it's not a romantic comedy, anything with Katherine Heigl in it. No!
Well, I think, like, White House Down has, I think it said Jamie Foxx is going to be the president, and then Channing Tatum and Maggie Gyllenhaal are going to be Secret Service agents.
Oh, really? Yeah. Maggie Gyllenhaal?
Mm-hmm.
What's she, a fucking, like, computer programmer? Seriously? She's only good for getting, like, blown up. Oh god!
And White House Down is directed by Roland Emmerich.
Hmm. Okay.
Which hopefully it's returned to like Independence Day and.
Yeah. Exactly.
Like 10,000 BC and 2012.
Well, if the White House ever gets blown up, they know where to go for the footage.
It's gonna be blown up. Yeah. Like it's gonna end with the White House getting blown up. There's like cut to that Independence Day footage.
End of the 2012. The White House is having a really bad day today.
It's funny to me because we've now officially said White House and blown up enough times to be investigated for this podcast. Awesome. So if the Everything Action Cast is a... We'll be setting up a PayPal donation site for our bail. disclaimer, this is just fucking talking about movies. So all you men in black.
I'll just blame it on Roland. Roland Emmerich, it's all his fault, you know. He
pretty much.
He's the one who redacted, so that's all I'm saying.
That's what I'm saying too.
Is it like Rapture? Is like the weird computer system that can, like, track keywords. Somebody, like, red flagged.
Uh-oh.
I think we need to change the subject.
Yeah.
Hey, man, no such thing as bad publicity. Let's keep that site traffic up, even if it's feds, yeah. Whatever.
Well, that's it. That's all I have for news, unless there's anything else you guys saw that you think you need to get talked about.
Oh, Breaking Bad, July 15th trailer came out. And I'll be doing
and Breaking Bad on the same day?
I know.
So, what's what you do?
So I will be doing recaps of Breaking Bad when that starts up.
Awesome.
Yep.
So why don't we move into New Leafs Roundup then, if there's no other news? And our pick of the week this week is the Christopher Nolan Director's Collection, which has pretty much every Christopher Nolan movie. The Prestige is noticeably missing for some reason, but
whoa!
I would have replaced Insomnia with the Prestige. Yes. I don't know what they're doing with that.
But it's Batman Begins, Dark Knight, Inception, Memento, Insomnia. In one convenient package if you don't have those already.
And I saw it at Best Buy, and if you buy it, you get up to $8 towards a ticket for Dark Knight Rises. So
there you go.
A little more incentive. But I own every movie except Insomnia on Blu-ray.
Yeah,
so no incentive.
Actually, same here. So it's bizarre. Cool.
It's like $30 on Amazon. So. It's a pretty good deal if you don't
have like,
those movies yet.
It was $40 at Best Buy, so get it at Amazon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hopefully the Kick-Ass Movie Kick-Ass Movie Podcast still, but Everything Action, Amazon link. And you can, we'll get some cash, maybe.
Please?
This podcast ain't free.
Mm-hmm. I think we actually made like $1.35 this quarter or something.
Fuck yeah, man.
We're making a lot of money on Google Ads, but we're making a decent amount. But
nice.
We're doing good. We're doing good.
We're all about transparency here, folks. Transparency.
And here's our Google analytics for the past year. Da, 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 da.
And our social security numbers for good measure. Check them out.
So also this week, 21 Jump Street, which I'll talk about in a little bit.
I'm going to watch that after this podcast, by the way.
It is sweet. Fantastic.
I've heard nothing but good things.
Yeah.
And
very excited.
When I first saw the trailer, I was like, it has sleeper tendencies, and good to see that it's delivering on that.
Mm-hmm.
And another aside, I don't really want to talk about this during show and tell, but I saw The Sitter, and that's passable. But the thing is, Jonah Hill's lost so much weight that to watch something like The Sitter now, you just marvel at how fat he was. or at least that was me.
How disturbing it is. I'm not skinny.
It's like, oh, Jonah Hill's skinny, and then you watch The Sitter like a couple months later, and like, oh man, remember when he was fat?
Same with Cyrus, dude. Yeah, and all I'll say about that is cocaine's a hell of a drug.
So, also this week, Best Picture 2012, The Artist, or I guess it would be 2011, but...
Can't wait to watch it and declare it overrated.
I have it
seriously.
On Redbox, so I'll probably watch it after this. We get done with the podcast.
Nice.
Joe said, this movie has no sound. That's his review.
That's
too much reading, he thought. Yeah.
I did really like their the same people that made it, their previous effort, OSS 117.
Mm.
Lost in Cairo, I think it's called. Which is like the 60s spy parody.
Quite.
John Goodman's in The Artist, isn't he?
Yeah, and like it's like Malcolm McDowell and like James Cromwell and a bunch of other people.
Whenever I see like a movie about movies and John Goodman's in it, just reminds me of, what was that, Matinee. Remember that one?
No, geez.
I guess not. Anyway.
Drawing a blank.
It was, it was like during the Cuban Missile Crisis, and they put out these really bad B movies, and I don't remember the plot except those parts, but anyway.
Okay.
John Goodman.
Yeah.
John Goodman had a good year. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was in Community, and now he's in, like, the Best Picture, so.
Bully.
So, also this week is Mirror, Mirror, one of the two Snow White movies.
Moving right along.
Obviously the least popular one of the two.
I think it feels like it came out, like, a month or two ago.
Probably did.
Yeah, I probably did.
Yeah, man. I'm with you on that. That was really quick.
But, you know, it's weird because the director, the guy who directed it, did The Fall, and that movie was...
And Immortals.
Awesome. Oh, yeah, and he did The Fall, and then did Immortals. And now he's doing this.
He also did The Cell.
Oh, yeah, that's right. So he has only one good movie on his on his docket.
Yeah.
That is not a good... Is that a career that's coasting?
We also have Damages Season 4.
Glenn Close.
Also, I think John Goodman.
Oh, hey, see, he's coming up lately. Yep. It's like, I don't know, maybe there was a rumor about his death and he's like, I'll show them. Or maybe it was that Family Guy John Goodman Thanksgiving joke that just kind of set him off. He's like, fuckers.
Yeah.
We also have Wrath of the Titans out this week.
Ooh.
Way better than the first one, but that's not really saying much.
Yeah.
Still can't believe they made a sequel. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, man, I was pretty surprised by that myself.
If you want to see, like, Ralph Fiennes and Liam Neeson.
So in case you're keeping track.
Go ahead, Brian.
In case you're keeping track, they made a sequel to Clash of the Titans, but they did not make a sequel to the A-Team.
Yes.
So, there we go.
Both have Liam Neeson, so I don't know.
One day.
Also, 1,000 Words, the most recent Eddie Murphy disaster.
I'm just surprised that a movie about Eddie Murphy not talking wasn't a bigger hit.
Mm-hmm. Fun fact, you know who one of the producers of that movie was? Nicolas Cage.
Charlie Murphy? Oh my god, really?
Nicolas Cage was one of the producers of 1,000 Words.
What?
Wow.
Oh god.
That somehow makes sense. Hey, speaking of Eddie Murphy, I was watching Eddie Murphy Raw a few days ago, just because I watch that every couple of years. Oh god, that man was a fucking comedic genius.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so sad how, like, shitty his last... movies have been.
He was at his peak with Raw, and then he did Delirious and 48 Hours, and he was like top of the world. And after that, just
Beverly
like,
Hills
shit.
Cop, man. Yeah.
Beverly Hills Cop too, and then that, like, pretty much after that, it's like just kind of slid and shit.
Yeah.
Probably started with Party All the Time.
Yes.
Which I might,
regardless,
I have to put that up as a music.
We have that for you, Mr. Murphy. What happened?
I gotta put the official music video for Party All Time as like a music montage sometime soon.
Fuck yes. Absolutely. I fully support that.
Rick James is in the background like, yeah, this is awesome!
Rick James. Love that man.
So, a couple more things come out this week. We have, on the Criterion Collection, the Samurai Trilogy, which is Toshirô Mifune, the classic Japanese samurai movies.
Ooh.
I don't
things.
Speak Spanish.
Apparently, they're like some of the people are like consider them like the greatest movies to ever come out of Japan. And then one more on Blu-ray, actually like Blu-ray book special edition, Deliverance.
My sentiments exactly.
High definition of swamp people. So that's it for new releases. So I'm going to get into what we've been watching over the last week or so. And, I don't know. Brian, why don't you kick us off because you haven't been here in a while.
All right. So, fueled by the fact that John C. McGinley is on the cast at least temporarily, and there's a new season starting, and you're doing the recaps, I finally got back into Burn Notice.
Yeah.
Mostly because I noticed that Netflix had season 4 on instant streaming, and I was like, oh, that's I stopped at the middle of season 4. So I caught up on season 4. It wasn't anything particularly mind-blowing, but it was good. I noticed how much I hate Michael Weston's brother. I just really wish he would go away for good.
He had a brother?
Because he always...
Weston, he shows up like once a year for like no absolutely no reason. He's like,
hey, Mike, yeah. I'm in Miami.
Yo, Michael, I came back from Las Vegas. I got a wife. Then he's like next year he comes like, yo, Michael, I'm coming in from Las Vegas. I got a son.
And then he's like, yeah, and like every time he comes, he's like, I'm in trouble again.
I took out a loan from some gangsters, and now they want to kill me.
And like his mom's always like, you gotta help your brother out. Family's all you have, and it's just like every single time he's there on the show, and they've done this like 5 times already.
He was on last week. He was on last week, and like he was in, like literally 30 seconds. Like he showed up, like, hey Mike, mom told me came in to have me fly in to help you talk about Fiona because she's arrested and stuff. Maybe we can work out your issues. And he's like, and somebody's like, yo Mike, my wife left me in Las Vegas. I gambled too much or something.
Well. Anyway, I'm all caught up, and before the podcast, I watched The Fall of Sam Max, and that's like, it felt like Burr Notice.
Brian?
Can you hear me?
Yeah. Brian?
Sorry, I
dropped out.
My headset's about to die.
Okay.
So I watched The Fall of Sam Max, and can you hear me?
Houston?
You're cutting in and out.
Prometheus?
Somebody else go, and I'll join up. Give me a sec.
All right, I guess I'll jump in.
Okay.
Sure.
At least 7 things, like the last couple weeks, Joe?
I actually haven't watched that much this week. Really, the only notable things that I've watched that have any sort of significance, I watched the straight to DVD new release Demoted, starring, and I say that loosely, David Cross.
An Anchor Bay joint, right?
I don't even know, to be honest. It's all a blur.
They've got a press release about that.
Yeah, it was interesting. It was pretty funny, but I don't know. I feel like it was somewhere between like Office Space, The Office, and Workaholics. Like it didn't really fit into any one of those categories, but there are elements of like all three.
Mm-hmm.
Just Workaholics being like the whole like slacker sort of deal, like totally content with like going nowhere. Because Office Space just showing like how much daily office life kind of sucks, and then The Office with each character being such a character, so to speak. I mean, David Cross, if you're a fan of his, you'll basically love him in whatever he's in, because 9 times out of 10, if he's not the same guy, he's very similar. You know what I mean? So, you know, it was good. He stole the show, hands down. I wouldn't run out to see it necessarily, because it wasn't like some really like ass kicking comedy, or some like triumphant return or anything. But, if it's on TV, I would check it out. Good for a few laughs here and there. Speaking of, well, not being good for anything, I also saw Woman in Black. Goddamn, it was just such a terrible movie on so many levels. Like, it failed as a horror movie. It failed as a good movie. Just the writing made no sense. Like, I guess it loosely follows a story of some woman who, like, watched kids die or something. Like, I lost interest so many times during this movie, and I didn't even stop to do other things. I'd just be, like, pondering the mysteries of life while this movie was sort of, like, on in the background. Just really bad. Like, the scares weren't even, like, well-crafted. It's just nothing happens in the movie. So it's like nothing, 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 and then, a face. Okay, well, anyone who's seen more than one horror movie in their entire life saw that coming a mile away. And, like, I don't know. They just relied way too heavily on the fact that, like, Daniel Radcliffe was in this movie. Like, just, you know, hoping that people would see it because of that. And I don't know. And it's so weird, too, because the way the trailers were cut, it actually looked kind of intriguing. You know? It actually looked like an okay-ish horror movie, and it was anything but that. So that was very, very disappointing. I think they tried to take cues from Insidious in the, like, whole psychological sort of horror buildup and pacing and all that stuff. The only thing is Insidious did it about 50 times better. So avoid The Woman in Black at all costs because it was terrible. If you don't believe me, check it out for yourself, but don't say Uncle Joey didn't warn you. speaking of Uncle Joey,
watch Full House?
No. Oh. I actually watched Joey Coco Diaz, who, if you don't know the name, you need to know the name because he's probably the funniest stand-up comedian alive today, at least in my opinion. Joey Diaz recently put out a documentary, not really about him. Not like a biography, but more about North Bergen, New Jersey, and like how it was like a really close-knit neighborhood and, you know, how it sort of affected who he was growing up. It doesn't sound that interesting, admittedly. Like, I'll be the first one to admit that. And I kind of took a gamble on it because you couldn't rent it through Amazon. You just had to buy it. But I had enough faith in Joey Diaz as a comedian and, you know, from hearing his podcast and the podcast that he's been on and just some of the stories that this guy's told in his, you know, in his stand-up, I figured it was worth the gamble, and it definitely was. You know, I would say if you're a fan of Joey Diaz or any – like the Joe Rogan Experience podcast or, you know, any of his body of work, if you're familiar with it, I would definitely say it's worth the purchase. But as far as production quality and things like that go – by the way, the title of the documentary is Where I Got My Balls From. So it's a little bit – you know what you're in for before it starts. And, you know, the production quality isn't great. Like, it's not HD. It's not going to win any, like, you know – it's not going to be featured on HBO or anything like that as, like, a earth-shattering documentary. I don't think Oprah is going to be reviewing it or anything like that. But – you know, it's a real story about real people, and not to sound like a total bitch, but like it was actually pretty moving, I thought. So, you know, really well done there. And you know, if you're into an offbeat documentary that, like, you know, is it has heart, but the general message is like feel good. You know, definitely check it out. I'm not sure if they're going to change the structure so that you can rent it anytime soon, but I would definitely say that it's worth a rental if nothing else. So. That was pretty intense as well.
Anything else?
That's pretty much it.
Okay.
No, that's pretty much it. It's been since I got my fucking wisdom teeth yanked out Monday. Everything's kind of been a blur. So I'll hopefully have more stuff for next week.
Alrighty. Are you back, Brian?
Yes, I'm back.
Okay.
My headset died. So.
The Fall of Sam X. How was that?
Yes, the Fall of Sam X. So basically, it's like Burn Notice's answer to 24 Redemption.
Yeah.
Basically, they take one, not the biggest star of the movie, obviously, of the TV show, but they put Bruce Campbell, God love him, into his own movie as Sam X, God love him too, and put him in a random war-stricken country, Colombia, and just gave him a movie where he just has to band together with the locals and take on some shady customers. And basically this is kind of like the prequel, and it kind of like syncs up a little bit with the start of Burn Notice. And even Jeffrey Donovan, who plays Michael Weston, directed it and also makes a small cameo in the beginning
with like crazy spy beard. And
yeah, it's like, we got to show he's a different kind of guy, and it's like, let's just give him a beard.
God, so, I just came back from Russia.
So it was good. I just couldn't get over the fact that the main girl there, there's a teenage girl and then there's an older one who's like an aid worker or whatever. She's like the poor woman's Jessica Biel. She looks like pretty much like if you hired somebody to be a celebrity impersonator, that's pretty much what she yes. looked like.
She's actually on Lost. She was like there's these characters in Lost named Nikki and Paolo. She was Nikki. And the fans hated them so much because they, like, basically introduced these characters, but then they're like, oh, they were here the whole time. They were in the background. They were talking with everybody and doing everything. And I was like, fuck them. They weren't here. So they, like, they were going to have, like, this whole, like, season-long arc of, like, them, like, it being, like, the new, like, stars of the show, or, like, joining, like, the cast, like, the stars of the show, like, as, like, main cast people. But everyone hated them so much, so they just, like, killed them off in one episode.
I know, and she's pretty terrible in this movie. She just, like, pretty much just offers, like, sarcastic barbs to Sam Axis plans. But at least, you know, it was pretty good. Kind of repetitive, dragged out a little bit. But it ended on a good note. And, of course, Chuck Finley made an appearance, like, his alias. Mm-hmm. So, but, you know, it just goes to show you that Michael Weston is the driving force behind Burn Notice, and it was nice to see Bruce Campbell get his own movie, but that, I don't know if that's something they want to do again, or, I don't know. He's good as a side character, and, you know, Bruce Campbell, obviously, Army of Darkness, and Evil Dead, and Bubba Hotep.
Yeah, I do like the chainsaw joke.
Yes.
Paul Sam Axe.
So, I mean, he's good in kind of like a wink, wink, nod, nod type of way, obviously. He's proven that throughout his career. Just that Fall of Sam Axe just kind of falls into this whole, you know, just a bit generic. But it was good. It ran a little long, even though it was like 90 minutes. it could have been like, it should have been like a two-parter season finale, maybe, or like something after the season finale. Mm-hmm. But I'm glad, and I really wish Netflix would get Burn Notice Season 5, but I might have to obtain it in different ways. But I'm looking forward to get caught up and start watching it again.
In Season 4, did Jesse show up in Season 4, or is that next season?
Did Jesse show up?
Yeah.
Jesse's in Season 4.
Okay, yeah. That was the season when they, like, added him to the cast. They finally just added him to the credits this season.
I'm not a huge Jesse fan, by the way. I really think, I don't know why they decided to add another person to that cast, because I think it works great as a threesome, but maybe because they can split Mike off with one person, and then the other two can do stuff, like it'll be Mike and Sam, and then
I think
Jesse and
for season five, they did a lot of, like, because they had, like, Michael focus on, like, the CIA plot.
Yeah.
And then, like, they had, like, and then Sam and Fee are doing a client job. They need Michael's help with it. Do a crazy accent, and then go back to the CIA job.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing that kind of burned me off, no pun intended, of the series. It's just that it just kind of got repetitive. It's like, at this point, I don't really care about Michael Weston's CIA. I just wish they'd choose something with him and stick with it. Like, if he's back in, he's back in. But I like the whole them kind of, like, solving mysteries and taking on bad guys for hire. That was obviously, to me, it's a lot more interesting than the main plot. Because the first couple of seasons are like, oh, okay, this is what's going on. He's burned, and then Trisha Helfer's his handler, and then he has to deal with Vaughn and this group. But it just gets tiresome. It's like it's like they hand him off to one group after another, and then you have, like, the mid-season finale, something happens, and then the season finale, something happens, and it changes, but it's still the same in the end, and that's the thing that just kind of bothers me about that show.
Mm-hmm.
But I was thinking about it, and I might have said this before, way back when, but I think Burn Notice might just be the closest we'll ever get to, like, a James Bond TV show.
Yeah, kind of.
I don't know. I mean, obviously, I could be proven wrong in a couple of years, but I think when it comes to, like, doing spy shows, this is kind of like the archetype to follow. Like, this is, like, kind of like the blueprints.
I don't know, man. James Bond Jr. is hard to beat.
What about Covert Affairs? Or that undercover show that lasted three episodes.
Or Silk Stockings.
Silk Stockings. Yeah.
Okay, great.
I see at night.
But yeah, that's what I've been watching. And I started Louis Season 2 because Season 3 starts up very soon. And I tweeted this, but the first episode dealt with his pregnant sister, And let me just say that the scene when they finally get to the emergency room, I don't think I've ever laughed that hard at a TV show in a long time, because that was fucking hilarious. I won't give it away, but it's definitely worth watching. I've watched a few episodes of the first season, and they were okay, but liking season two a lot so far, just on the first step.
Hopefully when it premieres tonight, if you're listening on Thursday, or when it appeared, we can finally get stop seeing all those stupid, the anger management ads on FX. Because they're just, they're cramming all the, they're cramming anger management and brand X down your throat.
I know, it's like they're like, we know a lot about comedy, so here's two guys that aren't particularly that funny. It's like, but the thing is, yeah, if you want Louis, seasons one and two are on Netflix.
Yeah.
So.
Is Wilford up there too, I think?
No.
It's not. No. I was gonna look for it, but yeah, I'm not too hot on Wilford, so that's why I didn't really investigate.
So, Chris, what have you been watching?
Oh boy. Okay. Let's start off with the good. Jesus. So I went out and went to see Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter.
I saw it as well. It was horrible.
Yeah. a little. I mean, it was entertaining.
Nerd fight.
Like, I enjoy the twist of the story of Abraham Lincoln with this vampire plot. But I do admit there is this weird rush feeling to it, you know?
Yeah.
Where he was basically vampire hunting for a week or two, and then he just took a sabbatical for 20 years, and then he just time to when at the end where he's starting to become the vampire hunter again.
Yeah.
So there are definitely some odd.
They just barely make any they make the barest references his him being a lawyer, him being a politician. And it's because this is random people and he's giving a speech now for no reason.
Yeah, there's what terrible and lawyers pacing. Do. There's terrible pacing. It's a very extended montage for half of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And the parts they want to focus on, it's I get this is a nod to actual history. But at that point, you're I don't care. I'm watching a movie, not a weird love story. Because it's the Mary Todd courting scenes, I'm just why? It wasn't a terrible
Victorian era. I enjoyed flowers.
Oh my god! Even no matter what movie she's in, Elizabeth, whatever her name is,
Mary Elizabeth Winstead.
She's always Ramona Flowers in whatever time era she is.
Yeah.
But I did like how they explain how Abraham Lincoln's family keeps dying off is because of vampires. I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah, that was a big plot. They go in that way in depth in the book, There's if you drink, if vampires drip their blood into you, then you get sick and die. And
right, I wish they explained that. I kind of remember that from the book, but I know I was watching this with a friend, and he was just like, "What the fuck?" I'm like, "Yeah, that can just happen."
They poison them with their teeth.
They don't even show it either. No. So it's I don't know what the hell to explain that. Yeah, sometimes you just die. So.
It was
I don't know.
The beginning, the beginning, vampire fights were really weird too, because it was just they didn't cut away before they even showed anything. It was just you see him swing the axe and just cuts to him burying the body.
Yeah, and I wish there was more training things that made it. Abraham Lincoln's power is just rage. That's it.
He trains for a fucking week and then he turns into Blade. Because slow-mo dodge, he jump off pillars and spit he's crazy axe moves and
Well, he juggled that axe for a night,
yeah.
So of course it makes him an axe wheeler. It's really terrible pacing for that to explain. There's no emotional buildup for why Abraham Lincoln's so good at vampire hunting. It's just I trained him for a day and now he can go out and blow trees up with one swing.
Yeah. Actually, he killed his first vampire when he was 10, because he just carved himself a stake and killed the guy, the first vampire.
Right, he didn't know what it was, he just did it.
Yeah, but then he started training for years and years and years.
like, I would like to see that. I like to see a progression of, like, Abraham Lincoln actually doing, like, clumsy kills to actually, like, doing it well. And they sort of do it with, like, three montage scenes. Huh?
He's like, now you're a slayer.
Yeah, and that's it. And there's, like, no support, whatever. But in the book, they actually explain that there's, like, intricate system of slayers, and there's actually, like, an order of things. Not just, hey, go to this county. Don't, like, don't make friends.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, it seems kind of rushed. And it was like, I don't know why it's rushed. It felt rushed when it shouldn't have. Like, there was no demand. There was no, like,
well,
we're going to get this movie out now.
Yeah, they cut so much out of the book, too. Like, it was just like...
Right, even the ending, yeah. Even the last part, where, like, they explain the effects of, like, his slaying and stuff. They just ignore that. I'm like, okay. But, like, it could be worse. I'm only saying this because I was a fan of, like, the idea.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So as long as I got a product in the end, I didn't care. I imagine true fans might have been a little more upset.
Yeah, I hated it, but...
There you go.
Like, I mean, there's one or two good action sequences, but, like, I think the one where they lost me was, like, when he was chasing down Jack Bartz. But it was, like, the random horse stampede.
What are you talking about?
Like, a million horses. There's, like, a million fucking horses is, like, nearby, like, randomly nearby. And then, like, they're, like, jumping from horse to horse. And then Abraham Lincoln gets a fucking horse thrown at him and he doesn't die or, like, get crushed by it. He's, like, ends up riding on top of it somehow.
Yeah. See what I mean? Like, I imagine this training could have explained that, but they don't even go into that.
Like, fucking, like, Jack Bartz the Vampire is just, like, picking up, like, punching horses in the face and, like, throwing horses at people and, like, jumping up, like, stopping horses, like, skiing behind horses. And it's just like, oh my god, fuck you, Timur Bekmambetov.
I didn't mind it. I don't mind gratuitous. See, the only thing is, this is appropriate for an action movie, because this movie knew it's a silly premise. They're gonna do over-the-top scenes for no reason, you know? And this is where I expected it to breathe. Well,
the rest of that movie wasn't like
zany. I know it's very...
the scene was just completely ridiculous and over top, and I was like, now we're serious again.
Right, because after that he got very like, oh, my responsibilities to humanity, blah blah blah. I guess I'll become a lawyer and a politician.
Yeah.
So
the mansion fight was pretty awesome.
Like, yeah, that part was pretty cool.
We just find, like, the generic evil vampire. Evil.
I didn't understand where every, like, vampire is hanging on the ceiling, like, as paintings. Like, I didn't get that.
And, like, they completely made it up for the movie. Just, like, well, we need, like, a generic bad guy for this movie, so.
Oh, he was, oh, like, I don't know what his role was besides, hey, vampires want their own country. I'm the, like, one vampire responsible for it. For this whole, like, group.
Because the book, there was, like, the evil cabal of vampires, and they were manipulating, like, Jefferson Davis and, like, all the other, like, southern politicians to, like, lead into the Civil War.
Right, that made sense. They kind of, like, allude to it.
They also, like, totally cut out, like, because the Union was, like, the Union of vampires that are fighting for the North. So they completely cut that out. Like, they cut out so much of, like, Henry's backstory and like Henry, like what Henry was doing and everything. Like, yep. That was like the scene where they showed his like backstory was like the most random, like the most jarring random scene. It's just like he got attacked on the road one day for some reason.
Oh, yeah. It's just like, oh, in an undisclosed time and an undisclosed action, he got
bit by a vampire. Yeah.
And
vampire for no reason.
Yeah, just because like they're on the road. There was never explanation of like maybe he did something. Who knows?
Yeah, because the book went, like, it was, like, awesome, because it was, like, he was in Roanoke, he's probably, like, the entire village, like, or, like, yeah, the entire village that vanished.
So, no, I understand, like, but if they try to make the book into a real movie, it'd probably be two movies. So.
Yeah.
I don't mind this adaptation.
It was a Abraham Lincoln biography with, like,
right.
With, like, vampire slaying thrown into it, which was awesome. And, like, it was, like, because it was, like...
Because it was more like a Dexter thing, where, like, every day he had a, like, retrospect about his killing and, like, what he was doing in his affairs.
Like, they weaved in a lot of, like, quotes from Abraham Lincoln that could be kind of ambiguous. They made it related to, like, vampires and, like, they went to, like, how the vampires caused the Civil War and, like, with the Civil War politics of, like, vampires and everything. This was just like, yep, Civil War started, vampires.
Emancipation Proclamation for vampires.
Mm-hmm. Also, I hated the random, like, and Harriet Tubman's there.
Yeah, I was like, oh, is that Harriet Tubman? Like, I said that out loud in the movie theater. Like, there weren't too many people, so it didn't sound that racist, but I was like, they can't be Harriet Tubman, and then just, oh,
thanks.
The one black woman in this is Harriet Tubman.
Yeah.
And so that was kind
of. And I also love the fact that, like, Abraham Lincoln, as president, and he and his two buddies are, like, the only protection for this, like, most important train in, like, during the Civil War. It's like.
Well, that's the plot, though.
Let's not send the Secret Service or, like, an army to defend this train. Let's just have us do it.
See, here's the thing I can't explain. Why can't he just say, hey, there actually are vampires. You should help.
Doesn't he?
Because he only told, like, two other people, and that's it.
Yeah, doesn't he tell that, like, everyone in the book? Like, he tells, like, Congress or something, or, like, his staff in the book?
I think he tells, like, his really close personnel. That's why no one questions him for his, like, motives. But,
yeah.
But again, you guys suspend belief about that. Okay, so Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter was, like, the good movie I saw. Think about that.
Okay. Oh, okay. We're going down.
Yeah, it gets worse. I decide, hey, you know how I should finish up the night? I should watch A Warrior's Heart.
Yes.
I need alcohol.
Did you tweet the series? You sent out that one tweet.
I sent out, like, two before, like, I couldn't type anymore. Before, like, alcohol took effect. But pretty much, this movie is a sports romance movie. And, like, hold on, I gotta look at my notes. Okay. So, from the trailer, this movie is about an evil 1%. Like, it's just, like, everything about this kid, I just don't like. Our protagonist is really a bully.
Mm-hmm.
He's a lacrosse player from the West Coast who decides, hey, in order for me to go to military school to play lacrosse there when I'm in college, I should go to, like, this other private high school so I could play lacrosse there and get a better chance to be recruited to play in this Naval Academy. So he goes with his family. Like, the whole family just moves from the West Coast to Virginia, to this, like, one rich area of Virginia where it's just, like, minorities are not a thing. and it's, like, I think his senior year, so he junior or senior year, I think. And it's not really established how old this guy is, but this actor is not, like, 19. This actor is 25, minimum.
It's, like, it's Kellen Lutz, I think?
Yeah.
From, like, Twilight and...
I don't know.
He was, like, I think he was, like, Poseidon or something in Immortals.
But it's just, like... Like, two of the co-stars are from Twilight.
Yeah.
The girl lead and the male lead. And freaking,
It's like, we can't get...
Gabrielle Anwar is, you know, Fiona from Burn Notice is freaking, the Connor Sullivan, the main hero's mother. And I'm like...
Is she using her original Irish accent?
She's doing her fake American.
Okay.
So this movie for, like, maybe three scenes. So it's just like, huh? It's really confusing how she's in this. There definitely are some weird, like, Christian overtones in this movie. That's why I couldn't figure out the genre, because it's like, is this a Christian movie? Like, like freaking Fireproof or something? I couldn't tell. And then...
Courageous.
Then they introduce this new character, or the love interest, and her name's Brooklyn, which, you know, just something about a girl's name is Brooklyn, and she's not, like, Latina or anything, just really is jarring for me. I don't know.
She's like Brooklyn Decker.
Brooklyn Decker. Like, yeah, she's like the one in Brooklyn. I'm like, yeah, but this, I'm just like, you live in this really white, like, area, and how the hell did you get your name Brooklyn? Like, it seems very random. But anyway. Yeah, so Connor Sullivan is, like, a douche, and he's a lacrosse player who, like, plays by his own rules. He doesn't fucking, like, pass lacrosse ball to anyone on his team. Like, he's always, like, he's the fucking Kobe Bryant of his fucking group.
He's Archer.
Yeah. Well, maybe.
You've never seen Archer play lacrosse?
Was that when him and his baby went to go play?
You son of a bitch. You need to watch that show.
Watch it again.
Watch it, damn it.
I haven't watched season 3. I've seen, like, one episode, I think.
Heart of Archness, come on.
All right. So anyway, So for some strange reason, it's okay for Brooklyn to basically stalk the shit out of Connor, because there's scenes where, like, you hear her inner monologue where she's describing, like, Connor's schedule, his attitude, and they're not even dating. They actually haven't talked too much yet. And at this point, I'm like, this sounds like a fucking creepy movie, because this girl is putting way too much thought about this guy that she hasn't talked to yet. Like, ooh, he seems like a person to have, like, really good kids of me. I'm like, this is part of the fucking monologue. I'm like, what? Like, it sounds like a fucking stalker. Like, that's what she is in this movie, but because she's a female character, it's okay, you know? And I was really pissed off about that, because I'm like, in a reverse scenario, if a guy was talking like this, it's a horror movie. Just like, I can't wait to kill her and skin her or something.
Yeah.
So, basically, Connor's dad keeps telling him to, like, be a team player, don't be, like, a dick when you play, and he doesn't get it. And then his dad gets recalled to, like, the Marines to do, like, an assignment. They don't really say what. He's like, I'm going back to the Middle East. I gotta go. Enjoy your lacrosse game, by the way, and leaves. And then during the lacrosse game, because his dad left, everyone on his team is kind of like, hey, man, maybe you should listen to your dad. And Connor's like, no, fuck you. And, like, within maybe, like, 2 minutes of them actually playing this game, he, like, hits another teammate. I mean, he hits someone on the other team, and then he gets kicked out of the game. And so, and then he's, like, texting his dad, which, you know, like, hey, he's texting his dad, like, hey, dad, I'm playing lacrosse, love you. The dad sends a text, and then it's shown that, like, during this text, is actually the dad's texting Connor when he's dying in this, like, Humvee accident.
Oh, my God.
And it looks, and he seems, okay, first of all, when the scene happens, it's so random, and then it looks like fucking he died because he was texting his son in Afghanistan. Like, it's so, like, I didn't get the message.
It's like,
it might have been an IED.
It's like one of those, like, text and drive PSAs.
It looked like it. It looked like half his Humvee's gone, there's just, like, metal everywhere, his car's on fire, and he's, like, at the steering wheel. And it looks like he's fine, like, he's actually reading it, he's actually texting back. And then it pans out and shows you, like, his Humvee is just, like, wrecked and that he's, like, bleeding. And then he just slumps over and dies. And then I'm like, wait, so his fucking did his text kill his dad? Like, it seemed like that was the point. Like, don't fucking text when you drive in Afghanistan. Like, it just seemed like an active war zone. You should focus on your priorities.
They kicked me out of the fucking lacrosse game, dad.
So that's okay. So,
I'm
oh, my
sorry
God.
Sorry like, about it, son.
That's what happened. And then I'm just like, holy shit, like, that's the real meaning of this movie. Fuck everything else. It's just, like, don't fucking text and drive when you're, like, going through an active war zone. So Connor, like, flips it out. He gets kicked off his team because he can't, like, follow rules. And everyone keeps, like, bringing up the fact that his father's dead. So I'm like, okay, like, I hate everyone now because every character is pretty much like, oh, you shouldn't be so hard because your father would be upset. He's like, fuck you, man. You don't know my dad. He goes, yeah, I guess your dad sucks too. It's like, oh, man, like, no one knows how to be polite at all. And then he destroys, like, this school's trophy case and then gets kicked out to a Indian. Oh, okay. So then his father's friend, like, takes him in as, like, okay, I'm going to teach you respect by taking you for, like, a 4-day trip to a work camp, an Indian reserve work camp where, like, rogue Indians who don't listen to their, like, teachings and their, like, reservations get kicked out too to, like, reform. So that's kind of insulting where it's like this group's meant to, like, really, like, you know, vent out all these Indians. Here comes this, like, uninvited white guy who has to, like, let me see what's your world. Maybe he'll teach me a few things or two. And, okay, based on the trailer, I thought maybe he'll learn something about Indian culture or, like, or Native American culture or, like, you know, the spirit of a warrior. But guess what? He doesn't. That whole time in that work camp is, like, a day. He basically goes there, steals, like learning how to pass, and then, like, leaves. And then he's just like, that was a great weekend. Like, there's no, like, oh, I'll learn to be a better player. Just like, okay, well, cool. And I don't think he actually walked away with a lesson. He just, like, learned how to pass. And then at the end of the movie, I'm just going to fast forward because he gets really retarded at this point. At the end of the movie, he plays this big game against his former team from the other, like, coast because he transfers schools. And he think, okay, like, the other team is actually trying to egg him on to, like, you know, make him punch so that, like, punch other teammates so he gets kicked off so they can, like, win easily. So it's, okay, again, like, it just proves, like, everyone in this movie is an asshole. And they're like, oh, man, like, hope your dad's, like, watching you or something. It's really, like, inappropriate. I'm like, oh, man, fuck these people. So I thought, okay, maybe he'll lose and learn, like, humility or, like, learn to control his temper, you know? But it doesn't end like that. It ends up him, like, kicking everyone's ass. And I'm just like, I don't think he learned anything. He, like, everyone, like, he gets the girl. His mom, like, respects him again after, like, destroying the, after going to that work camp. Like, you never see any of these Native American extras again that he goes to the play, he plays the cross one time with to learn how to pass. And the movie just ends. And I'm like, what? Oh, actually, it ends with him actually in college at this point, and he's playing lacrosse, and he's like, this one's for you, Dad! And that's it. And then it fades to black.
Probably later he'll be, like, chugging a beer, like, this one's for you, Dad!
I think, I don't know, like, it seemed like a better movie if he lost, and he didn't, like, destroy anything. Because it seemed like, and ever, because this is, like, opening scene montage of him winning and always fighting someone and getting kicked off, and just like, you got time out, or like, you need to go home. And so the warrior's heart is not to be, like, arrogant, you know, like, it's to use that energy for something positive. But it seemed like he cheated the system in this movie. Like, he uses arrogance to actually intimidate his own coach to let him back on his team.
He gets karma. Like,
well, yeah, because, like, actually, he starts practicing, like, ass early in the morning, and then he starts, like, convincing his, like, old teammates to, like, cut, like, on his new team to, like, come and play with him in the morning, and then they actually work together well. And then he convinces his school to, like, hey, I destroyed private property, my bad, but our team won't play unless I join them. And then he pretty much, he blackmailed his school to let him play. And I'm like, again, he didn't fucking learn anything. And he got everything he wanted besides, you know, his dad. But I just, like, I watched this movie for free on YouTube. I didn't even want to watch commercials on my Hulu. I was like, fuck you, Warrior's Heart. I'm watching you a free, crappy, like, with crappy, like, transformation on YouTube video.
Oh, man.
So, yes, Warrior's Heart. I survived it. I learned nothing. I learned that playing lacrosse, like, 9 times out of 10, playing lacrosse is just, like, arrogant assholes on your team anyway. So, cause at least, like, ice hockey, you get Canadians, and they're kind of nice.
Yeah.
And this, I'm just like, no, everyone here is from, like, Virginia, and they're all, like, dicks.
I didn't know lacrosse was that big in Virginia.
Only in this one county, because, again, no minorities ever in this whole, like, movie, besides maybe three characters, who's, like, generic second coach that's black, the Native American guy who takes in Connor to, like, train him on lacrosse techniques, and maybe a black cheerleader. That's about it. Maybe. Maybe she's really tan. Again, it's just, like, the movie doesn't focus on all these other characters, only fucking Connor and his problems. And they're not really big problems if you just fucking learn to calm down. And it's just, like, he had to go to a work camp to do that. And it's really insulting for these people actually at the work camp. Like, they probably did some hard shit, you know? Like, they probably did something very bad. And they got to put over, like, this visitor who just, like, I broke a trophy case. I'm here for, like, a few days. And there's, like, probably someone there for, like, a few months who's just like, fuck you, man. Like, you got problems because you broke something? Fuck you. I stole a car. Look where I am now.
Yo, any bros play lacrosse?
Yeah, conveniently, all of them do. That was the little twist. I mean, that wasn't a twist, but it was just, like, the like, purpose of the camp was, like, to make these kids, like, dig holes and then play lacrosse. I wish I was kidding. All right. That was so bad.
Anything else for us?
All right. No, that's it. I think two of these movies did me in.
Okay. That is a pretty horrible double feature.
Well, yeah. Well, we laughed about Warrior's Heart for, like, a few months, and I just had to see it. But, like, I had to get more progressively drunk to try to piece together this movie. It's like, the same plot as Top Gun, sort of, with, like, rival people that he hates are on his team, and, like, there's a love interest that he gets anyway. And he at least Maverick learned, like, how to calm down about his missing dad. I don't think it's his dead father, right?
And his dead friend.
Dead friend, right. Oh, well, there's no dead friend in this movie. There wasn't, like, a goose to, like,
smash his head against.
Like wacky comic relief character. It's like, hey man, I went to work camp too.
Nope. There's another white guy that's like, hey, you should calm down. Like, no one really offers him any solid advice. And that's why he just escalates out of control. Like, even his mom just kind of like, I don't know what to do with you.
I have to be in Miami. Alright, so, as far as what I've been watching, I finally checked out the first episode of season 2 of Falling Skies after my cable on demand I just skipped over, like, I missed it, because I guess 2 weeks ago that they premiered the first 2 episodes, so I was waiting for the on demand to catch up, and they decided to just do, oh, here's episode 3, we're not going to put 1 and 2 up, so I go somewhere else to find them, but, it's a pretty good start. I mean, it's a good sort of, like, summer, to tide you over to, like, Walking Dead comes back in the fall. Because the same sort of, like, post-apocalyptic, sci-fi, sort of show, where, like, you got these band of survivors, like, fighting against these invading forces, so Walking Dead zombies and Falling Skies aliens.
Yeah, but less awkward hookups, I guess. Less Lori stuff.
Yeah.
Plotline.
Mm-hmm. You just have, like, kids getting kidnapped and, like, putting, like, brain slugs on their back.
I'm all for that.
And, yeah, so that's if you haven't checked, I think the first season is actually on Netflix if you want to check it out. It's a pretty good show. Like, if it was a fall show and it was, like, on the same time as, like, something like Walking Dead, I don't think it wouldn't stand up as well, but it's summer, so it's probably one of the better summer shows out there, so. And then, as far as movies, I watched Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter, which we already discussed. You can check out my full review on the website. It's sort of up there, whether it's the worst movie I've seen this year so far, but it's definitely, I'd say definitely top 3, along with like Battleship.
You're a brave man, Zach, for seeing Battleship too.
Mm-hmm. Didn't have to pay for it, so that's why I see everything.
Yeah, but like if you saw it, you could probably demand a refund.
Of $0.
Of $0.
I want my time back. You owe me an hour and a half. But and then first other movies I watched. I watched 21 Jump Street, which I also mentioned during New Release Roundup. And that movie is fucking hysterical.
Surprising.
Yeah. Like, it's completely self-aware. Like, it knows exactly what the hell it is. It's not even, like, trying to be, not even trying to be like a parody of like the, or like a adaptation of the 80s show. It's just like, let's have wacky cop slash high school act, like wackiness. Like I can't remember Ron Swanson from Parks and Rec. I can't remember the actor's name right now, but
I just call him Ron Swanson
yeah.
too.
He has a cameo in the beginning. So you have Channing Tatum and Jonah Hill as like pair of cop buddies who they graduate from police academy and they're like they get put on like parks duty, so it's like bike cops in the park. And they manage to make a drug bust. But they forget to read the guy his Miranda rights, so they have to like let him go. And then so they get like yelled at by the chief, which is Ron Swanson, and then he's sending it to the undercover unit. So he's like, I'm sending you to this revived 80s undercover unit that we're bringing back. The people who make this shit up don't have any creativity, so they just like bring back stuff back from the past and think no one knows this is it. So they basically just like they lay it out like, yeah, we know this is like 21 Jump Street movie is stupid, so we're just gonna like play off how stupid it is.
Well, that's good. Like that's pretty much one of two ways it was trying to go.
Mm-hmm.
And definitely a comedy would have been better than an action movie with, like, Jonah Hill and Channing Tatum.
Yeah, I mean, there's like car chases and shootouts, but they're like definitely played up way for comedy. Like during the car chase, during the LA like the freeway, but there's like a huge traffic jam, so it's like constantly stop and like steal a new car from like they start out with like a student ed car, like a driver's ed car. But they get stuck, so they have to, like, steal, like, a pink VW bug, and they're, like constantly stealing cars, because, like, there's, like, a motorcycle game after them, so, they, like, they get stuck in the traffic, so they, like, keep moving, like, stealing cars move forward, and then, like, constantly, like, stuff, like, you would think explode, like, there's, like, a gas truck, and, like, a truck carrying, like, gas, like, canisters, like, they keep, like, getting shot, or, like, crashing. Like, oh god, it's gonna blow! And then they don't explode. I'm like, oh, I really thought that was gonna explode that time. And there's a lot of like, great like cameos, especially like because they're in like this high school, so they have like lots of like awesome people for like the teachers and like the principals and everything. So you have like Rob Riggle is like the gym teacher, and Chris Parnell is the drama teacher, and Ellie Kemper from The Office is like the biology teacher or the chemistry teacher.
Really?
Yeah. And just like it's just like Channing Tatum is actually pretty hilarious in this movie. Like I think this movie like I'll give him like it'll erase like one of his other horrible movies.
Like what?
Like, it'll like cancel out like I don't know, Dear John or something.
But Dear John was an awesome movie for not G.I. Joe.
I don't know. We'll cancel out one of those stupid movies.
What's the other, G.I. Joe.
Like, what was the other one? Like, oh god, what the hell was that one that just came out? Oh, The Vow.
He was in The Vow?
Yeah.
I'm sure it's The Vow or The Debit or The Debt or...
No, The Vow is the one where Rachel McAdams can't remember that they were in a relationship, that they were married.
Oh! Yeah, I forgot that.
That was the one with like Sam Worthington, where it was like they're hunting Nazis or something.
Okay. The Vow, The Debt, whatever. But yeah, The Vow was like 50 First Dates, but actually sad.
Yeah.
Not comical.
Mm-hmm. 50 First Dates crossed with like The Notebook. But 21 Jump Street, back to that. There's also like Ice Cube is like the stereotypical angry black police chief.
Yeah, that was funny when I saw that in the trailer.
Yeah, I mean, he actually makes, like, he, like, acknowledges the fact that he's the angry black police chief. He's like, yo, man, I worked my ass off to be, I'm black, I worked my ass off to be a police chief, I have a right to be angry sometimes. And, like, the 21 Jump Street headquarters is, like, in this, like, weird Korean church. There's, like, a Korean Jesus on, like, this cross. So constantly referencing a Korean Jesus. It's like, hey! Stop messing with Korean Jesus. See that Korean shit to deal with.
Is there other team members on the squad or just them?
There's other, like, they're, like, at other schools, and, like, they're doing their job, like, way better than Channing Tatum and Jonah Hill are. Like,
okay.
We just bust this entire ring of car thieves at our school. What are you guys doing? It's like, we're working on stuff.
Okay, see, I thought it was just them, and I was like, this is a terrible squad of just, like, Jonah Hill and Channing Tatum is, like, the only people on this case.
Yeah. And they're trying to, like, stop this new drug that's, like, taking over the school called, like, HFS, which is, like, holy fucking shit. Because there's, like, this YouTube video going around, like, this one kid who took it, and he's like, holy fucking shit! And he's like, and there's, like, these, like, four stages you go through. Like, the giggles, and then, like, overcompensation of confidentiousness or something. It's like these crazy stages that you go through. There's an amazing like montage of like because they have to like take the drugs from the drug dealer to like make it sort of cool. So they take it and they're just running rampant to the school. Like Jonah Hill's like do a track meet. He's just like leaping like completely messing up the track meet and like Channing Tatum like goes to the band practice and like. Destroys the band room. He's like, no, don't stop, guys. Keep playing. He's like, just slamming his head against drums, like playing cymbals and everything.
It seems like a funny movie. I just, again, like when it was in theaters, it didn't seem appealing.
Yeah, it's definitely like, it's definitely not like just like a, I don't know, like, well, I guess Starsky and Hutch or something was like kind of self-aware, but this one was like, they know, they realize how stupid an idea of like 21 Jump Street movie. So like they don't even like, I don't think there's any, like anything even like related to the old show in it.
I mean, they didn't have Johnny Depp.
They did, actually. He has a cameo. I'm not gonna say where, but he shows up at some point.
Oh man, I gotta see that now.
But yeah, it's super hilarious. I'd definitely check it out. Not since it's now on DVD, so. I think definitely the funniest movie I've seen this year so far.
So year's not over yet, Zach.
Yeah, I know. Well, we're almost to the middle. Or we are in the middle, because like, June is the sixth month, so.
It's half Christmas.
Yeah, it's half Christmas. So, that's all I'm watching, so why don't we get, wrap this thing up for the week. And if you want more from us, you can go to www.everythingaction.com for news, trailers, videos, reviews, like I mentioned before, review of Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter, which maybe you should give your opinion or something in the comments or something, Chris.
Yeah, well, it's like, if you want like a really weird shorthand version of the story, it's a good, I say it's a good adaptation, but that's because
it's a horrible adaptation,
there was always, huh?
It's like the most horrible adaptation ever made.
I guess.
There's like nothing from the book that's in that movie.
Abraham Lincoln's
The barest of plot threads are in that, like, there's like two characters and like Abe Lincoln fighting vampires. That's like the only thing in the book. They don't even mention like his other fucking, like, Abraham Lincoln had like five sons. They mentioned the first one. That's it. The other ones don't grow up.
I kind of forgot he had five kids, and I was like, historically he had like five. So
yeah.
I mean, it's like watching Titanic, and well, Titanic really being matters. A spaceship or something.
Yeah. So review of that. Our new weekly Burn Notice recaps are going up every Friday or whenever I get the chance to watch it. So it might not always be Friday, but usually one or 2 days after it airs on Thursday. Breaking Bad recaps are coming next month from Brian. A bunch of other stuff up there as well. All the trailers we talked about earlier up on the site. So definitely head over to the site, check out everything we got going on over there. You can also find us on Facebook.com/everything.action is the Facebook page. You can like us on there. You can see news stories that we find from around the world. We put them up on there before we collect them every Friday for a new shotgun on the site. Random videos, random pictures, everything we find funny or interesting, we put up on the Facebook page. So definitely, if you're on Facebook, like us on there and keep up with us on there. Also on Twitter, twitter.com/EVAction is the Twitter account. You can follow us on there. We retweet a bunch of news stories we find. You can see stuff from the site as they go up. You can follow it as they go up on Twitter. Sometimes we live live blog movies. I think what did Joe just live blog something, didn't he? I think he did. He live blogged something, but I can't remember what it was. But yeah, so keep up with the Twitter account. You might find some random live blogging or random thoughts from us. And we're also on iTunes. If you want to go to iTunes Music Store, search for Everything Action. You can subscribe to the podcast on there. Rate us. Leave comments. Give us reviews. You can also get our app on there for your iPhone or iPod Touch. It's free. You get the last 20 news stories on the site. You can also listen to podcasts on there as well. So definitely download the app if you have an iPhone or iPod Touch. And contact everythingaction.com is the email address. So if you want to send us suggestions for the things we talk about or article ideas or whatever, commentary ideas, whatever, we want to hear all your suggestions, so definitely email us, contact everything.com. So for Chris and Joe and Brian, I am Zach, and we will see you next week.